Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening once again to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Across America and around the world, we are so close to our television project completion that I can smell it, taste it, I can almost feel it. We still need a few $100, folks. After I told you that we were below the $1,000 mark, we've just been getting the slightest trickle. Now, don't get me wrong, for those of you who have sent in that slightest trickle, we are really sincerely thankful for it, and it has taken us closer to the goal. Remember, every contribution, no matter how large or how small, is another step toward making it a reality. So we still need a few $100, folks, and we need you to get up off your duffs, reach down into your pocket, especially for those of you who have not contributed and probably have never contributed anything in your life, except maybe some preacher that's been blowing smoke in your ear. So get off your butt, spelled B-U-T-T, do something. Help out with this. We're almost to the end. We're going to make it work. It's almost a reality. Remember what I told you, until we have collected the last penny, we're not going to produce anything. And it's simply because if we do, once we do, then you'll all think it's all over and there won't be any more. And we must, and will meet our goal. So it's just a few more $100, folks. Don't stop now. Okay? Send in your donations and do them quickly. Quickly. So that we can get the show on the road. I'm eager to start producing some videos. I am eager to go on the air with the Round Valley Television Station. And we've had donations in the Round Valley from exactly three people. Would you believe that? All these wonderful patriots here living in the Round Valley, these cheap couch potatoes, can't even send in a dollar to fund their own television station. But, oh, you just wait. They'll watch it. And the first time they don't like what they see on it, they'll be complaining and wanting us to do something about it. But I'm telling them right now, if you didn't contribute, we're not even going to listen to you. I don't care who you are. I don't care how much weight you think you carry. We will not listen to a word you say if you did not contribute. And if you did contribute, we'll listen to you. We really will. We'll take your suggestions and comments and complaints seriously. But nobody else will even be heard at all. Period. Now, those were three cash donations. We have received some donations in help, and I mean a lot of help, from about three other families. And, of course, we will listen to them. And you all know who you are. And you all know who you're not. And on a worldwide basis, you know if you've contributed to this television project, and you know if you haven't. And if you haven't, you need to do it now. Don't wait. Don't procrastinate anymore, like you've been doing. you are famous for not funding your own projects, your own agenda. Now, you better turn that around because you're just about at the end of your rope, whether you know it or not. And even most of you who know it won't do anything until it's too late because you're waiting for something to happen. When it happens, it's going to be too late. Here's the address. Send your contribution in the form of cash or blank money order. Make sure if you send a money order, you keep the receipt. Keep the receipt. And send it to the hour of the time. In care of 101.1 FM. Send it to the hour of the time. In care of 101.1 FM. Post Office Box 940. That's P.O. Box 940. Once again, P.O. Box 940. Eager. Spelled E-A-G-A-R. Arizona. 85925. That's 85925. Don't worry about spelling eager wrong. If you get the zip right, it'll get here. Once again, the hour of the time. In care of 101.1 FM, P.O. Box 940, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925. That's 85925. While you're at it, send us a big self-addressed stamped envelope with 77 cents postage on it and $1. And we'll send you our current catalog and sale prices, and you can take advantage of this sale, which only will continue until will only continue until April the 15th. Anything postmarked after April 15th will not be honored. We'll send it right back to you. Okay? Most of you who have sent in requesting that information, we've turned it around and sent it right back out to you. Those of you who have already placed orders, we're busy filling those orders for you. And we will get them out to you as quickly as possible. You know, after we did that broadcast on tube-type radios, a lot of people called and wanted to know if we were going to have any of those and if we would make them available. And so many people called that we have sought out a supply. We have found one, and we're going to have some of these old classic, which are really, if you want to know the truth, in my estimation, the best shortwave radios ever made. And we're going to have them all the way from prices like $120, $130 up to around $750. And the difference in price is the difference in quality of the radio and price that we can get them for and the condition of the radio. Now, the ones that are up in the $700 price range are collector's items. They are museum pieces. They work absolutely perfectly. They don't have a scratch on them. They are the most beautiful things that you have ever seen in your life. I fell in love with them. If enough people buy these radios, we'll be able to afford to keep one. And I'm hoping that we can. All of them are good. We guarantee that all of them will work. We guarantee that when you connect them to a long wire, they'll work as good or better than any short wave that you now have or can purchase anywhere. And we know this because we test them out. We check them. We make sure the tubes are good. We make sure that these radios are working and that they're working properly. Now, there might be one or two little things wrong with them. Some of them might be scratched up. Some of them, you know, might have some of the paint rubbed off or have some stains on them or something like that. They're old radios. But the reason for getting one of these radios is because they work, and an EMP, an electromagnetic pulse, will not injure these radios. They will still work. They will still receive when everything else that you've got won't. So listen to that carefully. And despite some of the comments that they take a lot of high voltage and you can't run them off of solar power and all that kind of stuff, that's bunk. It's not true. You can. If you set up a bank of deep cycle batteries, like marine batteries, not car batteries. You can't use car batteries in a solar power system. If you try that, you're going to have a lot of problems. You should be using deep cycle, heavy duty, marine type batteries. You set up a bank of those batteries in the proper manner, and you compute how many you can afford and how many you want, and you hook up those to the proper solar panels that will charge those batteries and keep them charged, and you can operate one of these radios for several hours each day, no problem. No problem whatsoever. And that's for those of you who wanted to know if you could do that. Yes, you can. You can operate them off of wind power or water power, whatever power you want to use to charge your battery bank. But remember, and this goes for any kind of a power system, alternative power system, don't use car batteries. Don't use any kind of batteries other than deep cycle, heavy duty marine batteries. You can discharge them over and over and over and over again, and they'll charge right back up, and they'll still work like a champ. You discharge a car battery completely two or three times, and it's ruined, and it's not going to work right ever again, and it'll even stop taking a charge and holding it. So, be that as it may. Don't go away. I'll be right back in a minute, and we're going to start talking about some things tonight. Some things have been happening that we need to discuss, in my humble opinion. Well, bless my soul, but what's wrong with me? I'm itching like a man on a fuzzy tree. My friends say I'm acting wild as a bug. I'm in love. I'm all shook up. Ooh, ooh. Yeah. Well, my hands are shaking and my knees are weak. I can't seem to stand on my own feet. Who do you think of when you have such luck? I'm in love. Ooh. I'm all shook up. Mm-hmm. Ooh. Yeah. Well, please don't ask me what's on my mind. I'm a little mixed up, but I feel fine. When I meet a girl that I love best, my heart beats so it scares me to death when she touches me. I can't know what the chill I've got. Her lips are like a volcano that's hot. I'm proud to say that she's my buttercup. I'm in love. I'm all shook up. Ooh. Ooh. Yeah, yeah, yeah. My tongue gets tired when I try to speak. My insides shake like a leaf on a tree. There's only one cure for this body of mine. That's to have that girl and a love so fine. She touches my face and all the chill I've got. Her lips are like a volcano that's hot. I'm proud to say that she's my buttercup. I'm in love. I'm all shook up. Ooh. Ooh. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Ooh. Well, ladies and gentlemen, how many of you noticed on that, those of you who have satellite dishes, how many of you noticed that not this last week, well, this last week too, but mainly the week before, the Saturday before last, every alien extraterrestrial movie that's ever been made was on a station somewhere. The day the Earth stood still. Alien, Alien 2, Alien 3. E.T. Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Fire in the Sky. Fire in the Sky was on today. And this last weekend, too. Unbelievable. Along with the regularly scheduled Dark Skies or Dark Sides or Dark Side or whatever it is, and the X-Files. They are literally swamping the airwaves with alien movies. And, of course, some of them are pretty good and entertaining. But, unfortunately, there's so many Looney Tune wackos out there that believe that they're all true. And so the more of it they see, the more brainwashed they become that aliens are here. Extraterrestrials are getting ready to land on the White House lawn. In fact, I've seen a couple places on the internet where that's claimed. Amazing. Did you notice the theme of the, oh, I forgot another, Sphere was on. That's the new one with Dustin Hoffman. About this crashed spacecraft at the bottom of the ocean. They go down and they check it out. And turns out to be one of ours from the future. Went through some kind of a time warp and crashed in the ocean. But it was carrying an alien sphere on board that caused a lot of problems. Well, I think it's all very interesting. I think it's even funny to watch all this stuff. Sometimes it's sad to watch the reaction of the sheeple, but nevertheless, it's a lesson in the control and manipulation of great numbers of people. I refuse to use the Marxist term masses, and whenever you hear someone using that term, you're listening to a socialist or a communist, one of the two. Maybe both. Maybe both. Alien movies. And what's the theme of most of them? Oh, yeah, there was the Contact, too, with Jodie Foster. That was on the same weekend. All of them were on, folks. Star Trek. They were all on. No matter where you flipped that satellite dish to, no matter what satellite you were on, you go through the different transponders and different channels, and everywhere you looked, there was an alien movie. So you say, so what? I don't have satellite. No, but you have cable, and guess where all your cable programming comes from, my friend? You guessed it. Satellite. All comes from satellite, except whatever local programming your cable company might carry, and usually they don't carry the local programming, or you wouldn't watch the local stations, and the local stations would go out of business. And there's some kind of law about that. I'm not sure. Wouldn't you know it, television stations only broadcast intrastate. I'll bet you anything it's a federal law, even though they have no jurisdiction over that kind of thing. Whether it's radio, television, doesn't matter. Alien movies. Everywhere that you looked on that weekend, that was the weekend before this last one that just ended last night. And this last weekend had quite a few repeats of a lot of those same alien movies and a couple of more. What do you suppose is going on? And our Bell's at it again. He had Mr. Thomas on his broadcast last Wednesday night, Thursday morning, promoting the big contrails are eating us hoax. It's the same thing. So, you know, instead of aliens, it's contrails. You know, aircraft contrails, those lines in the sky, those mysterious lines in the sky. claims some nut named Joe in Tennessee was hit by the contrail. Yep, contrail fell right out of the sky, right on his head, and infected him with rabies, hepatitis A, and about 12 other things. Of course, it's all bullshit. And Joe's full of bullshit, and so is whoever tested him and diagnosed him with all of those things. And tomorrow night, the first hour is going to be devoted to that story, and we're going to tell you the truth about contrails. And the truth about this guy Thomas and a few of these other people who are perpetrating this hoax intentionally. Some of them have good reasons to do it. They're selling you health products that will counteract the effects of the contrails so that you're not affected. Wouldn't you know it? It's going to be interesting tomorrow night because I'm going to pop their bubble. And I'm going to throw another attempt by Art Bell to create mass hysteria. He says the information about what the contrails are doing us to us is one of the most important subjects there is in America today that we should be discussing. Well, we don't call him Art Bullshit Bell for nothing, do we? So, Art, if you're listening, and you probably are, we know you listen all the time, tune in tomorrow night, and we'll set you straight on this. And if you're smart, you'll set your audience straight, but, gee, we're not going to hold out for that, will we? Past experience has told us that that's not going to happen. No, you'll milk it for all you can get. You'll bring on every guest that will promote it and create the hysteria and whip up panic, and won't be long till a plane will be working its way across the sky, carrying a load of people on their first Hawaiian vacation, and everybody on the ground will start yelling, and dive into their underground contrail shelter. And yes, some people are digging contrail shelters. Because some people claim that they see a plane at 50,000 feet that's so high up they really can't see the plane at all, but they see the contrail forming behind the jet engines, and they claim that 10 minutes later the contrail has fallen on them and they are suffering from terrible respiratory problems. More bullshit, it's impossible. Cannot happen. Cannot happen. Even if the contrail were made out of lead, by the time it hit the ground, it wouldn't be anywhere near them. We'll talk about it tomorrow night. We're going to pop all your bubbles about contrails and tell you the truth. Oh, yes. And if I can contact him, we're going to have a special guest, my good friend Jay Reynolds, who did the research and wrote the article for Veritas. And documented every bit of it. Now, he doesn't know I'm doing this. Whether he can be a guest or not tomorrow night, we're still going to do the contrail story tomorrow night. Because it needs to be done. There's too much hysteria being whipped over this crap. Too many lies being told. Too many people making tons of money by conning you into believing that you're being poisoned and killed by the exhaust from jet airplanes. The contrails. You'll be amazed to find out what contrails really are. They don't really have anything to do with the exhaust of the jet airplane, except for the moisture content that is vaporized in the burning of the fuel. But we'll cover those technical aspects tomorrow night. Don't want to contribute to all the fear by, you know, giving you some clues and then letting you run off half-cocked. You might fall down with that loaded weapon and shoot yourself with contrail information that's not quite complete. So, we won't give you one of those bullets. We'll wait till tomorrow night and give you the whole story. We'll set you straight. And those of you who are sincere seekers of the truth will love it. Those of you who are seekers of an adrenaline rush, love to pass around rumors and be scared all the time, and sky is falling fanatic into the worlders, I'm going to just make you sick. I'm going to take your fun away from you. Those of you who want to jump on the contrail story can go to our website. It's all there. You'll find it prominently displayed on the homepage, harvest-trust.org. That's harvest-trust.org. That's the best website on the internet if you're looking for truth and real information that you can use. If you're looking for anything else, go somewhere else. Next subject, ladies and gentlemen, the Academy Awards last night. The Academy Award ceremonies. The Motion Picture Academy of Arts and Sciences annually has an Academy Award ceremony where they present people with this little statue named Oscar. And the 71st, I believe, was last night. I think that's the right number. If it's not, who cares? It was the 70-something. I'm in the ballpark. The Academy Awards. We're going to open the phones early because I want you to tell me what you noticed about the Academy Awards last night. 520-333-4578. Believe me, it's not the last subject we're going to cover, but this is the subject that we're on right now. When you call in, I don't want to hear about anything else. Just last night's Academy Award ceremony. I know a lot of you watched it. I watched it. I wanted to see what was going on, what motion pictures would get the awards, what the decorations of the sets were, what they talked about, who they hit with their particularly devastating Hollywood humor, which in all cases always turns out to be Democrat and socialist in nature. So the phone is 520-333-4578. The phones are open. And I want to hear from those of you who watched the Academy Awards ceremonies last night. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill.
Hi.
Yeah, I noticed at a certain point there was an, you know, they had the set with the hole in the sky, so to speak. Below it, at one point, there was a very large obelisk-like structure with a large curtain-like veil coming down through the central hole.
Very observant.
In the stage. And the curtain landed on kind of a round object next to the base of the obelisk.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really understand what it meant, but it certainly was symbolic of some sort.
Yes, it was. What was the big thing in the sky with a hole in the center?
Well, it looked like a sunburst at first glance.
Well, you got it. Alternately, depending upon what they were talking about or what they were doing, it either represented the sun or the moon.
Right.
And occasionally, they would project the heavens so that it was all stars, and this burst would just disappear.
Right. Yeah, I noticed the stars in the background, like you speak of the thousand points of light.
Yeah. Wasn't this incredible? And it's getting worse every year. What was, didn't you see the other scenes that had the obelisk in them?
Yeah, then after that initial scene with the large obelisk, there was a subsequent scene with three or four smaller ones.
And what was on top?
Well, eventually what was on top became apparent as Oscars.
Yeah.
At the beginning, and then in the original large obelisk, I couldn't really tell. I couldn't tell if it was surmounted by a pyramid on or if there was some smaller object up there. Subsequently, there were bigger statuettes of Oscar.
Yeah, as the evening wore on, the statuettes got bigger. They were bathed in more light, and it became obvious that that became the capstone of the or the pyramidal top of the obelisk. And what did it represent?
Well, that's interesting because I never noticed before that Oscar is holding a staff.
Yes, he is.
And I assume that the name Hollywood comes from the literal Hollywood, and the high druid priests of old supposedly carried a staff made of Hollywood.
Yes, and they made magic with it. Magic is what? It's the art of illusion.
Right.
Aha. So Oscar, on top of the obelisk, represented actually the illumined man taking his place as the capstone in the New World Order.
Makes perfect sense. Bill, I got a question for you. I recall you reading verbatim from a text by R. Swinburne Clymer.
Uh-huh. I've read quite a bit of his works.
Right. From Beverly Hall.
Yes.
Is there any connection with the term Beverly and Beverly Hills?
I have no idea. I've never...
I'm trying to find out, but I can't square it. I'd like to go back to the beginning of the incorporation of the...
If I were you... And I was doing that research, I would call the Beverly Hills Chamber of Commerce and ask them to send me whatever they have on the origin of the name of the city.
Right.
And the history of the city.
Right, you are.
And the founders of the city.
Yeah, I'd be very curious about that in particular.
Remember, the first rule of research is whenever there is a source you can go to the source. If you suspect the source is not telling you the truth, then you need to start digging deeper.
Term Bel Air. Someone has told me that that's an alternate word for Lucifer, or it has something to do with Luciferianism. I don't know if that's true.
I've never heard that.
I've been led to believe that.
I've never heard that.
All right.
Doesn't mean it's not true, because I don't know everything, but I've never heard it.
I hear you. Well, that's what I got to offer.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you.
Anybody else see the Academy Awards last night? What did you notice? If anything, did you notice? I bet a lot of you sat through it and didn't see a thing, except pretty girls and handsome guys and And a lot of applause, and little Italian guy jumping up and walking on the backs of the seats and jumping up and down and flipping and screaming and hollering in what might have sometimes been English. Was pretty entertaining. But it goes deeper than that, folks. It's not just entertainment. It's deadly serious. It's got to do with the manipulation of your minds. 520-333-4578. What do we do? Have an audience at Chicken Pluckers tonight? The phone is not ringing. There we go. A brave soul. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, Bill.
Yes, sir.
I've been watching the Oscars ever since I was a young boy, and I don't ever recall the Oscars being held on a Sunday night. And I don't know if that has any significance.
Well, what is Sunday in the Christian religion?
That's the holy, the Sabbath day.
And you don't break the Sabbath, do you, if you're a Christian?
That's right. And,
But, what is the real Sabbath? And how did Sunday ever get to be the Sabbath, if it's not the real Sabbath? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
What's the real Sabbath?
Is it Monday?
It's the seventh day of the week. Which is the seventh day of the week? No, Sunday is not the seventh day of the week. Sunday is the first day of the week.
Well, another thing I noticed about the Oscars last night, though, I heard Whoopi Goldberg used the term magic a few times.
Yes, she did. It's all about magic. Hollywood is all about magic. It's all about the art of illusion being used to create, not reflect, but create the future. Well, as you move closer to the New World Order, you're going to find more direct and blatant open attacks on Christianity.
I believe that's probably true, Bill.
They hate Christians. They want to destroy Christians. But not just Christians. Really and truly, every existing religion on the face of the earth, except their secular, humanist, man-is-God religion. Thank you.
Everybody that hasn't contributed a few dollars or whatever to Bill, let's get them going with the TV projects. I'm really anxious to see what you got to offer there, Bill.
Oh, we got some incredible stuff. We've had footage that we've been collecting for years that nobody's ever seen. All we have to do is put it together.
I think it's about time that the public starts seeing some of the truth instead of the propaganda on the network news and all the other BS.
Yeah, you know, if the audience has been listening to all that I've been teaching them about Mystery Babylon and the hidden religion of the fraternal organizations and the secret societies over all these years, if I'm wrong, why is all of the symbology that I've been teaching you about coming together every year in more and more abundant and open form in places like the Academy Awards? Well, whenever you see that triangle, you're looking at New World Order stuff.
That's what I thought. All right, Bill, you have a good day.
Okay. In fact, I did a whole broadcast about wings around the world, or wings over the world. Remember, in ancient Egyptian mythology, there's a globe with wings surrounding it. And the pyramid, again, is just the temple of initiation. The pyramids were never tombs. They were temples of initiation. The triangle can mean several things. It can be a symbol for the pyramids, even though it's not in a true pyramidal form. It can be a symbol for the pyramid. Whether the apex is up or down can denote either male or female. When they're together forming the so-called Star of David, which was never the Star of David, it represents androgyny or the androgynous god. And when alone, whether the apex is up or down, it always represents thought, desire, action. And that's to bring about the desired goal, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, good evening, Bill.
Hello.
Yes. I didn't watch the Academy Awards to any great extent, but I did see the Italian guy jumping around on the back of the chair. And if you notice, the speaker's stand was an ovum kind of thing. There was a big egg cut out of it.
Yeah, you got it. All the symbols that I've ever taught you about were all there, all of them, every one of them.
And the caller before, he neglected to say that Saturday was the seventh day. He changed the subject right away.
Well, do you blame him? He didn't want to admit that he doesn't know something. It's okay to say, I don't know. I say it quite frequently, as a matter of fact. In fact, I said it during that call.
Sure. but a lot of people aren't aware of that. You know, they just, you know, they look at the calendar and everybody tells them that Sunday's the seventh day, Sunday's the seventh day, Sunday's the seventh day, but they don't look at the calendar and see Sunday's the start of the week and Saturday's the end of the week.
Yeah, let me ask you something. In the Bible, it says that Jesus was crucified.
Correct.
He died on the cross, right?
Correct.
Was buried in the tomb. And how long does it say that he stayed in the tomb?
For 3 days.
3 days and?
Nights.
3 nights. 3 days and 3 nights, and he rose on what day?
I don't know.
The Sabbath. It was the Sabbath. Or excuse me.
Currently, we use Friday as Good Friday, so that's, okay, he died at 3 p.m. on Friday, supposedly. So Saturday at 3, Sunday at 3, so he rose on a Monday.
Well, if you believe what it says, but if he rose on the Sabbath, or during the Sabbath, and they came on the morning following the Sabbath, then what happens? He couldn't have been crucified on Friday, and he couldn't have risen on a Sunday, could he?
No. Then
why is every single lying preacher, evangelist, minister, bishop, pope, cardinal, why is every single one of them telling the people these lies?
Because they want to participate in basically the lies that have been taught us through generations.
But they keep saying that the Bible is the inspired word of God. It cannot err.
Yeah.
If it cannot err, and it said he was in the tomb for 3 days and three nights, how could he die on Friday and rise sometime during the late night, Saturday night, or early morning Sunday?
Now, Orthodox ministers, you know, they even take care of that. They don't, you know...
They're liars. Either the Bible is telling the truth, and they're lying, or they're telling the truth, and the Bible is a lie.
Exactly.
Maybe both.
Alexander Hislop's book, The Two Babylons, and he makes it quite clear in there about a lot of all this that we're talking about. You know, going back to, who was that, Constantine?
Yeah.
I also, as a side note to the Oscars, generally, I don't watch the Academy Awards, but what I try to do is I try to get classic movies that have an anti-socialist message. And last night, I watched Ayn Rand's We the Living,
mm-hmm.
a 1941 Italian film with English subtitles. And it was made in Italy. The Italian government didn't underwrite it. It was privately funded. However, Mussolini used it against the communists until I guess he saw the movie and he saw the actual message that it was about anti-socialism.
Yeah, and he was a socialist.
And he was a socialist, and he hunted down almost every copy he could find and burned them all.
Sure.
Yes. it was a very good movie. I enjoyed it immensely, and I'm not any worse for the wear that I didn't see the Academy Awards, but I'm glad to hear that you're covering the symbolism of it tonight. Because,
well, you should have seen it just so you could have discovered the symbolism.
Well,
you can't rely upon me forever, because one of these days you're going to wake up and I'm going to be dead.
Oh no, I've seen all this stuff taking place along with you, Bill. I take. it as, you know, kind of a personality worship to watch those things a lot of times. And, you know, quite frankly, I don't have the time for it.
Well, if you're watching it to worship the movie stars, you're right. If you're watching it to learn something about how we're being manipulated, you're wrong.
Yeah, well, you know, I've sort of been studying this for a long time, and you know, it doesn't surprise me. And, you know, I pick this stuff up, you know, in my daily newspaper daily, you know. I turn on my TV. I can barely watch TV anymore with all the blatant messages, and everyone else around me doesn't see them. And,
that's for sure.
And you know, you point it out, and they don't even want to know about it.
No, and they think you're crazy anyway.
Well, yeah. I don't know if they think I'm crazy.
Oh, yeah,
they think of me when they have a problem and they want to know an answer to something.
Yeah, but they think you're crazy because you buck the status quo.
Yeah, well,
and that's crazy.
So,
that's crazy.
Okay, well, I'll let someone else buck the status quo tonight, too.
Okay.
Bye.
520-333-4578. Thank you for your call. Anybody else watch the Academy Awards? Anybody notice anything? Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. This is Frank from Pennsylvania.
I need you to talk loud.
This is Frank from Pennsylvania.
No. Put your mouth in right in front of the phone and talk real loud.
Okay. Is that better?
Yeah. Some of you guys and girls are so used to talking low all the time. When somebody says talk loud, you whisper a little louder. And that doesn't work.
What about that, Bill? Can you hear it?
Yeah. No, we just got off on that subject because it came up during a discussion of the Academy Awards. The subject is the Academy Awards ceremony.
Okay.
Okay?
I was just curious. I understand. I was just curious. I mean, well, never mind. If that's the subject, I don't want to, you know.
Well, here's what you do.
What?
Read the Bible, see what it says. Listen to your minister and see what he says.
I know.
And then you have to determine who's lying and who's telling the truth. It's that simple. If
right.
The Bible's lying, throw it in the trash and listen to your minister. If your minister's lying, then read your Bible and kiss your minister goodbye.
That's what I believe. I mean, I don't think Sunday is the day that he rose again.
No, it can't be. It's absolutely impossible.
I don't believe that. I believe that if he was crucified, it would have been either on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, making it Saturday.
You're right.
That's what I believe.
That's
what I believe.
You're right. Actually, it's a little different than that, because I don't think he rose on the Sabbath. Remember what the problem was with taking care of the body when he died? It was the Sabbath, and that's why they couldn't do anything.
Yeah, okay.
And so they had to wait to come and prepare the body, right?
Right.
And
oil and stuff.
Yeah, but
right.
The Sabbath was in there. And it was, you know, it was a while before they could get permission to even do anything. And then when they got permission, it was the Sabbath, and they couldn't do it because it was the Sabbath. So they got up early the next morning.
So what would that have been?
Well, he either rose late the night of the Sabbath or early the morning following the Sabbath. Remember, the Sabbath in the old ancient Hebrew custom was sundown on Friday until sundown on Saturday. No, it's sundown.
Sundown.
Whenever the sun sets. Sunset to sunset.
Okay.
There's no time. It's sunset to sunset.
Then that would make it Wednesday.
It could, very well.
Right? I mean, I'm just...
Wednesday or Thursday, somewhere around in there. But whatever they're telling Christians today is wrong. It can't possibly be. He could not have died on Friday and risen on Sunday if he was in the tomb 3 days and three nights. But that's not the subject. See you later.
Right.
Bye. 520-333-4578. Don't do that to me. I told you. The subject is the Academy Awards. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, Bill. How are you?
Good.
Listen, I watched the Academy Awards, and I guess one of the things I'd like to talk about is
first off, I need you to talk louder. Wasn't that wonderful?
I was really pleased to see some
the reaction was not what they said it was going to be. They said he would be booed, and people would throw vegetables at him and eggs, and that they would get up and walk out en masse if he was given an award. It didn't happen.
No, it didn't.
And most of the crowd stood up and gave him a standing ovation. And then you could see some of the spoil sport communists. I mean, you could identify the communists and socialists just as clear as a bell as they sat in their seats and refused to applaud and refused to stand up. Some of them would surprise you.
Yeah, they didn't really pan much of the audience. I mean, you had your Nick Nolte and you had your Ed Harris.
Oh, you could see enough to see quite a few of them. At least I could. Yeah, you're right about Nick Nolte. He gave his political alignment away.
Yeah, exactly. It boggles my mind how somebody who, I mean, really did have the courage. I mean, we were in the midst of the Cold War.
Hey, you know, I don't understand these people to begin with. If they're in love with communism, if they're in love with socialism, what in the hell are they doing here? And why are they in the movies making millions of dollars if they're socialists and communists? Why aren't they redistributing their own wealth? Why don't they get the hell out of this country? Why aren't they living in Cuba? Why didn't they go to the Soviet Union when it was still there? What are they doing here?
Exactly. That's my exact sentiment. If
this is such a terrible place, and if their socialist utopia already existed somewhere in the world, why didn't they get their little red butts over there? Why are they here trying to destroy this country so they can make another little red socialist country?
Exactly. My exact sentiment. I mean, if communism did work, I mean, you've got a billion people over there in China, and obviously that's not working, and Russia just totally collapsed. Why in the world do they still hold on to this evil identity?
Because they believe in it. Because in their youth, they were so brainwashed by the promise of it, which always turns out to be a lie. They can't let go.
Yeah. What did you think? Did you think, Martin Scorsese had Ed De Niro starred in that movie about that whole time frame. And it's kind of interesting that both of them presented the award to him.
They were responsible for him getting it. They put their whole weight and fortune behind it, and they might suffer in the future because of it.
Did they really?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Didn't you hear him thank Martin Scorsese, and he says, hey, wouldn't happen without Bobby. De Niro, thank Bobby. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And he turned around and thanked Bobby De Niro. They called him Bobby De Niro, Robert De Niro.
Wow. Do you remember the movie I was talking about?
Though? Not everybody in Hollywood is a treasonous, red socialist jerk.
Right.
There are some good people there. There are some loyal Americans there. And I think, as time goes by, and people realize how bad socialism and communism really can be, we're getting more of them. I mean, where in the hell did Braveheart come from?
Yeah.
You think, in your wildest dreams, they wanted the American people to see that movie? Didn't matter what they did to William Wallace in the end, it was inspiration par excellence. Well, good for him, but your voice has fallen off now. You got to keep your voice up. We're on radio. You're not just whispering in my ear.
Oh, okay. I was mentioning about Mel Gibson and about how he really pushed to create that whole Braveheart and about his views. I've read several things about what his viewpoints are. He's quite a good man.
Yeah. You know why they called it Braveheart? Nobody ever understood that. After he died, the Scottish Patriots claimed his heart. And every time they went into battle, they carried his heart with them. It was the brave heart. It's true.
Wow.
Real history.
I never knew that. That was never related.
It's the truth. They carried his heart into battle from that point on. When Robert the Bruce won freedom for Scotland,
mm-hmm.
His army was carrying William Wallace's heart.
Incredible.
How about that? That's where the movie got its name, Braveheart.
So it was not, his name was not, they never gave him that name until after his death?
Well, they never gave him that name. It was his heart. It was his actual, real heart. They had it in a container. They carried it with them. See, they thought that courage and bravery came from the heart, just like love. They thought the heart was the embodiment of all of the good things in a man or a woman.
Like Richard the Lionhearted?
You got it.
Yeah.
And so they were able to surreptitiously acquire his heart after he was killed, or at least somebody's heart that they claimed was his. It might have been, may not have been his heart at all. They may have used it as a political propaganda advantage to inspire the troops to fight, because they knew they had William Wallace's heart with them, the brave heart, and so maybe they would fight better. I don't know if it was really his heart. They say it was. I doubt if the English wanted anybody to get any portion of him because he was a martyr.
Yeah.
I would suspect that the English probably wanted to hide his body or cut it in a million pieces and feed it to the dogs or something. I don't really know what they did with his body after he was tortured and killed. But anyway, that's where we didn't really leave the subject, did we?
No, not at all. I was very pleased about that. Particularly with so much of the media hoopla about what they were going to do. That's another one of these things that they just kind of spurred people on.
Might have also been a big publicity stunt to get a bigger audience for the Academy Awards.
True.
Because everybody be sitting there waiting for Haley Kazan to be, you know, pelted with rotten eggs and vegetables. Sean Penn's another little socialist creep. He's the one that threatened to throw vegetables at him.
Who's that?
Sean Penn.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's an upstanding American citizen.
He's the one that married what's-her-name. I mean, if William Wallace was Braveheart, Madonna's got to be open panties. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And who in the world would marry that slut? You know?
That's another one.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah. Well, listen, Bill, it's good talking to you.
Well,
nice caller, and
thank you for calling. There's places on the internet where you can listen to my broadcast, albeit late, you can still listen to it. Just go to the webpage, click on the hour of the time. I don't know how many people go to the webpage, they see the hour of the time right at the top with a link line right under it and never, ever click on it. And they wonder why they can't hear the hour of the time on the internet.
Well, I have picked up some old broadcasts. There's just something about listening to somebody live. And the ability to talk to them if that occasion occurs.
Like, well, if people would support their causes, we might be able to afford to get on a satellite, and we might be able to get on the internet live. But the people who subscribe to the beliefs that I subscribe to aren't willing to give like I'm willing to give, and they don't support their causes. They think God is going to save them, and I'm telling you right now, unless they help themselves, God is going to spurn them.
Since you mentioned God, I just want to ask you one thing. In Revelation 13:10, it mentions about Jesus mentioned it too. It says, those who live by the sword shall die by the sword.
What's wrong with that?
Now, let me ask
What's
you
wrong
that?
With a brave warrior dying in his profession for what he believes in? You're going to die anyway. You want to die in a bed in an old folks' home, rolling around in your own crap and urine? because they don't pay the help enough to turn you over and change the sheets? Is that the way you want to die? I'll die by the sword any day rather than die like that, fighting in behalf of good, fighting on the side of God, fighting on the side of freedom, fighting to make this a better world for our children and for all of us. What in the world is wrong with that? Who said that that was a bad thing to do? Right after you got through praising William Wallace.
Right.
You got some thinking to do about your feelings. They're conflicting.
The only thing I can add is that there are people that are militant. I mean, let's say, for instance, thieves.
You cannot be free if you are not willing to be militant in behalf of freedom, and if you are not willing to die for it. You are professing the slave mentality. You don't even know it. And I'm not trying to be mean, and I don't mean that in a bad way.
Right.
You don't realize that someone has instilled in you a slave mentality. Nobody, no people who were ever meek, ever, stood up and stop themselves from being enslaved. Look at the history of the world. If you don't believe that statement, you will find that it's true. Only those who are willing to fight ever had anything in this world. Or ever will, for that matter. Unless you consider being enslaved having something. I'm going to let you go.
Okay.
Take care.
You're
listening to WBCQ, Monticello, Maine, USA. I'm William Cooper, and this is the Hour of the Time. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah.
Hello.
Okay.
Hello.
Hi, Chuck.
Hello. Hi, who?
Hi.
Good night. This ain't Chuck, my friend. I don't know who the hell you're talking to, but there ain't no Chuck in this studio. My name is William Cooper. Boy, did you blow that one. 520-333-4578 is the number. Did you hear him call me Chuck? I won't stand for that. Good evening. You're on the air. Yes.
I wanted to express my viewpoints about that absurdity that we witnessed last night.
Well, go for it. But you need to talk louder.
Well, I was somewhat amazed when I saw as many people stand up, actually, as they did when Elie Kazan came out and applaud him, because I was surprised at that.
I was, too. But I was very happy to see it.
I was, too. Incredible. But I was equally surprised when I saw Ed Harris sit there on his hands. I didn't expect that of that man. For some reason, he has never represented himself or come across as that type of a guy.
You know why you didn't expect that from him?
No, I didn't.
Because of some of the roles that he played.
Exactly.
You equated the role with the man, and you cannot do that in Hollywood.
This is who we're dealing with out there.
Yeah.
And those people are more than willing to misrepresent the true values of what America is supposed to be and be paid for it.
You got it.
And then deceive us in so doing. So we think that they have a character they really don't have.
Yes, but the big mistake is equating the actor with the character that he plays. That's the mistake.
Anybody out there that sat on their hands, had a neon light on their head that said, I'm a commie. I don't adhere to the values that America was founded on.
Yeah.
And I wasn't surprised at all to see Nick Nolte sitting there as he did, but... He's never fooled me for a minute, but I was relatively surprised when Ed Harris sat there like that.
No, believe it or not, he does not have the right stuff.
No, he doesn't.
He is not John Glenn.
Yes, he doesn't. And I've been mistaken, but now my mind has been corrected.
Yeah.
So I can use that as a further reference now when I don't go see the movies he's in.
Yeah, you know the astronauts who were the first to make actual Earth orbits.
Yeah.
Those are the only real astronauts, and they're the only ones with the real right stuff, aside from the shuttle astronauts. The astronauts in the Apollo space program are all fakes, frauds, liars, phonies, and...
Absolutely. You know, I mean, if people really considered exactly what it took to put a piece of titanium foil between you and certain death and have the testicles to climb inside it and take a trip into space, think about that, then they would realize that it really does take the right stuff to do that.
Yes, it
That's
does.
Not, that isn't anything that should be taken lightly.
No. Uh-uh.
So, anyway, the other thing I wanted to make was your last caller. He, the one that got the right name, he said something about he that lives by the sword shall die by the sword.
Yeah.
And I have a bit of insight that I'd like to
share it with us.
It's this: he who lives by the sword, meaning I interpret this as a person who uses the sword to gain his living by threat or coercion, oppression or tyranny. And this is where they get their power. They live because they have the sword and they threaten people with it. And if they do that, then they shall die by the sword.
Well, that's another way of looking at it. Having been a professional soldier myself, or sailor, whatever you want to call it, I happen to know that if you go to enough battlefields, you're going to die on the battlefield.
Well,
there's no doubt about it.
Definitely exists. It's just like climbing into it.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter whether you're the tyrant or the good guy. If you go to enough battlefields and fight on those battlefields, you're going to die on a battlefield.
I agree.
And I think that's just plain common sense. I don't think that there's any mystical message in that. I think it's just plain common sense that he whose profession is the warrior profession, whether you're fighting on the side of good or evil, chances are you're gonna die in one of those fights.
I mean, the reality is A, you can die.
Yeah.
If you go to war.
That's right.
That's the way it is, so just accept it.
Yeah.
But I thought I'd call and tell you that.
And regardless of what they say about warfare today, modern warfare, you have a better chance of surviving than you ever did in any war in history.
Generations. My ancestors happened to be on the battlefield when the king was forced to sign the Magna Carta, and they in this country for 300 years, and they fought in every war that this country has ever had, and myself one of them. And
spit it out.
It's something that we need to look at not only as an obligation of our freedom and a duty to our children.
Absolutely. And you got to be willing to die for it or you can't have it. It will not be yours. It will not belong to your children. You will sell your children out so that you won't have to die.
Well, and it comes to mind that Samuel Adams wrote some very interesting stuff. And he explicitly told us that they purchased our inheritance for us.
Yeah, they bought it with blood.
With toil and blood.
Yep.
If we're not willing to defend that at the same price,
then we can't have it.
We'll either lose it.
We already lost it. It's gone. If you file and pay income tax, you're paying tribute to whom you recognize are your masters.
We could get it back, but we'll have to do it, and it'll take as much diligence for us to get it back as it took for them to keep it.
That's right.
So
the longer we wait, the harder it's going to be.
Absolutely. And the threat never ends.
Yeah.
So if the battlefield it has to be, then that's the way it has to be.
Yeah, you know, all I got to do is look somebody in the eye. They tell me, well, we're still free.
Yeah.
But we got no problems here. I just look them in the eye and I say, do you file and pay income tax? They say, yeah. I say, why? Can you show me a law that says you have to file and pay income tax? Because it doesn't exist. Congress has never passed any law, and they couldn't anyway, because the prohibition against direct taxes has never been amended or abolished in the Constitution. But they can't tell me that. So I say, why are you filing and paying?
They file and pay because they're afraid.
That's exactly right, which means they're not free. They recognize by the very act of doing that they're living in a tyranny, and they're too afraid to do anything about it.
They're too afraid to go sit across the table and get in their face. They're too afraid to stand up,
yeah,
protect their rights.
They're cowards.
The means are necessary.
They're cowards. That's the word.
We're a nation of cowards.
Yes, without any doubt.
Absolutely. And we're not going to change because...
Well, some of us never went that route. I don't fit that category.
I don't think that I do either.
Do you file and pay income tax?
I filed an income tax form in 1990.
Let me ask you again.
And I'm going to be real honest with you now. Up until the last 3 months when they starved me out and they seized my paycheck and I got $100 a week to feed my family on and they about threw me out on the street, I was forced to either do something that I should have done or not watch my children grow up and watch them go hungry. But I'm going to wait.
Is it better to let your children go and fight so that they can be free, or to submit and bow to enslavement and ensure the enslavement of your children so that you can be with them?
Well,
Bill, now I'm not trying to I'm not trying to judge you. I'm just asking you a simple question, and all I need is a simple answer.
You're right. You're right. I'm looking at myself because I kick myself in the ass every time I think about it.
And I understand that struggle. I love my children. I love my family more than life itself. But there comes a time when you may have to give them up so that you can fight for their freedom rather than
give in
to enslavement.
I have given them up for a period of time when the government decided that they were going to incarcerate me for a non-payment of a tax.
Well, good for you.
And then
you're my brother.
And I... Thank you. Thank you. That means a great deal to me.
Well, it's the truth. If you're willing to stand up and do what's right, no matter what the consequences are, against tyranny, you are my brother.
Whatever the price may be.
Whatever it may be.
I'm willing to pay that price, but I'm not willing to sacrifice my son. I'll see the battlefield before I'll let them see it. And if it's necessary that they see it, then so be it, because I'm sure that they'll be able to deal with it. But Americans don't have that same conviction as a whole. They are more than willing to distribute everyone else's wealth and vote their way into my pocket or your pocket or anyone else's pocket.
Until somebody takes
the privilege that says that they can steal. property.
Yeah.
And that irritates me no end. Because if Americans stood up, if they woke up tomorrow morning and they understood that, by Friday it could be over.
Absolutely. It would be over. Guaranteed.
Over, and they couldn't hang. They just couldn't deal with it.
If every person in this country picked up a gun and stood up and said, no more, it stops right now, or you're just history, it would be over without firing a shot.
That's right. Absolutely.
And if they forced it to test our resolve, and we had to fire some shots, we wouldn't have to fire many.
No, it'd be withering fire.
Yeah. As soon as they found out we were serious, it would be over.
Yeah.
But the way it is, the way of the coward is the deaths of millions of people.
Of course. It's easier that way because it's always somebody else dying and not you.
Well, that's what they think.
Well,
but what really happens is it really is.
Well, it's exactly as you take the Charles Schumers of the world, and they say they can write a law. They can take someone else's guns, but Charles Schumer isn't going to go out and do it. He's going to send some other poor slob out there to get his
He's going to spend Joe Cop.
Yeah.
The guy who thinks he's enforcing the law, and he doesn't even know what the law is. Never read the Constitution, hasn't got a clue, but he doesn't want to lose his job, so he goes and turns traitor to his fellow citizens so he can be a cop.
I can't believe that. That's
the truth. That's exactly the way it works. And the longer they're a cop, the harder it is to quit. Because they get married, and they have children, and then they have debts, and they have house payments and car payments. And then, even if they know that what they're doing is wrong, they won't stop.
They won't stop because they've already voted their way into our pockets, and we pay for their livelihood.
That's right. And they can't exist without that job.
I can't abide.
Now, remember,
I don't know what we can do except to encourage our brothers.
Well, the best thing to do is tell the truth. Never stop telling the truth. And eventually it affects people. It does. It affects them.
I've been telling the truth like that for the last 20 years. And
we'll keep doing it.
People that I know me and they understand that. And though they think that sometimes I was full of it, it took several years before they realized that I wasn't full of it.
Yeah.
They knew that.
Yeah.
So, well, I think we got off the point, but Bill, it's been great talking with you.
Well, thanks for calling.
In this
instance, I'm glad we got off the point. Take care. Let you go.
Take care.
Well, gosh, we need some music now. I got to... Now, before we go back to the phone, folks, before we go back to the phone, I want to say something here that needs to be said. Not all police officers fall into that category. A good percentage of them today do. And they do simply because nowadays they're chosen by a psychological profile that makes sure they get the kind of police officer that fits that profile and that will do what he's told, regardless of what the law says, and will be vicious in his execution of what they tell him is the law. But there are some good police officers out there. I know some of them. So I can tell you that as a fact. The problem is finding them. And that is the problem sometimes. Good evening. You're on the air.
Bill.
Yes, sir.
Good evening. Mike from Rhode Island.
Hi, Mike.
Long time listener. Go back to the 11 o'clock, I think, Eastern Time, and following Tom Valentine.
I need you to talk louder, Mike.
Okay, I'm sorry, Bill. I just wanted to call up. I've been on and off tonight here, but I want to get back to you and find out what did the planet do there to get better coverage here in Rhode Island.
I don't know that they did anything. Probably better weather. We're coming into spring. Always, usually better reception in the summertime. I don't really understand all of this stuff about propagation. I just know that during certain times of the year and certain weather patterns, shortwave is a participation sport where you've got to do everything in the world, including maybe plug your little finger in your ear and blow your nose and grab your antenna between your big toe and the next toe and balance on a stool at the same time. And try different things in order to get reception.
Well, you know, I called you when you went on back in September, but gee, the conditions were so terrible. I just couldn't listen, and I don't know why. I had the frequency here in the Sony radio, and the other night I popped you on it. You know, you've been coming in on gangbusters here. I just wonder.
Also, sunspots have something to do with solar flares, sunspots. There's a lot of things that affect shortwave reception.
Something was done by the station.
No, I can assure you that Alan Weiner has not done anything at the station other than what they've been doing all along, which
is
transmitting at 50,000, I think it's 50,000 watts.
Yeah, well, I know he must be heard great around the country, but I think we're a little too close over here down Rhode Island. We're just on the...
Well, that's true. The closer you are to a shortwave station, especially during some parts of the year and some specific propagation patterns, the signal has a tendency to skip right over you.
Yeah, okay. Bill,
It's there. Your antenna just isn't up in the ionosphere.
Well, my antenna right here, believe it or not, is the collapsible antenna. It's fully collapsed. You know what I mean? It's just the antenna that covers the radio. It's fully collapsed. It's about a foot long.
Uh-huh.
And you guys are coming in like gangbusters. But
well, that's great.
Well, it is. Bill, how's the family?
Well, they're good.
Okay, good to hear it. Good to hear you. Nice talking to you again.
Well, thanks for calling.
Okay, well, God bless. Bye-bye.
Family's good. The family's safe. That's what matters. I love them dearly with all my heart and soul, and I will do everything in my power to keep fighting until the day I'm dead to make sure that they have a good, safe, free future. Ain't that a bitch? But it's reality. Well, the last thing that we've got to talk about for the last 35 minutes of the broadcast is Kosovo, Yugoslavia. Guess what? Americans are going to die in Europe. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill. How are you?
I'm fine.
A couple of months ago, I believe it was, or maybe a little longer, I sent you a copy of the Scottish Rite Journal with Kleindeck in it and Mel Tillis and Secretary of Agriculture Dan Blickman.
Uh-huh.
Did you receive that?
Yes, I did.
Okay, I was glad you did, because I didn't know whether you got it or not. I kind of screwed up on that address that you had. That FM kind of throwed me off. What does that mean? Is that Farm Market Road or something out there?
No, it's my radio. It's not my radio station. It belongs to the Independence Foundation Trust, which is the girls, my daughter's charitable trust.
Okay. Then
and their charitable trust funds and operates 101.1 FM.
I was just wondering how that come in there, because I heard you give another address one time, and
well, sometimes we have to change frequency if somebody else starts using the frequency we're on.
Yeah.
We don't want to interfere with somebody else, even if we can walk all over them. I will not do it.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So sometimes you might hear another number.
Yeah. Well, it was an address that you was giving out. That was the only reason that kind of threw me off.
There's a bunch of it. There's an address for Veritas. There's an address for 101.1 FM. There's an address for Harvest Trust. There's an address for Independence Foundation Trust. There's an address for Independence Trust. We do a lot of things.
Okay, but basically any time that one of them comes on, you're going to get the material if it's sent to you, right?
Well, it depends. If you send it to the wrong address for the wrong thing, it'll be sent back to you because of the legal ramifications. For instance, Independence Foundation Trust is a charitable trust which cannot accept donations, cannot do business transactions. If you send, so you have to send it, for instance, to the Hour of the Time, which is owned by Harvest Trust, in care of 101.1 FM, because that's where the Hour of the Time gets its mail. But it's not 101.1 FM that you're dealing with. It's the Hour of the Time. So if you leave out the Hour of the Time and you send it to 101.1 FM and you're trying to make a money transaction in there, it'll be sent back to you.
I got you. It's got to be Hour of the Time and then 101.
In care of 101.1.
In care of 101.
Yeah. And,
okay.
And if you're doing business.
I must have got the thing right if you got it, but I was just curious because I never did hear you comment on it.
Well, that's the reason. See, we stick within the law. And we make sure that the trusts are being operated properly within the fiduciary responsibility of the trust documents.
Well, now I'm going to hang up and get back in there. And before you go off tonight, give me an address, you know, like if I want to send something to you. But I'd like for you to comment, too, on this 7 days and Saturday being the Sabbath. How did they arrive at this Saturday being the Sabbath? When they didn't really count days like this back when at the start of time, you know, in Genesis there. He didn't call it Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. This has all been brought about afterwards, right or wrong.
Who kept the Old Testament?
Who kept the Old Testament?
Yeah, what is the Old Testament in actuality?
Well, the Old Testament is the Jewish teachings, as far as I'm concerned.
No, it's not the Jewish teachings. It's the five books of the Torah, which is and makes up the Old Testament of the modern King James and every other Christian Bible that exists.
Yeah, but now these guys, they revived that. But what I agree with you now on the Torah back here. That was a Bible.
Okay. So if the Hebrew people, you see, Jews never existed back then. There's no such word as Jew in the ancient Greek or Hebrew.
Oh, you're right. They were called Hebrews.
That's right.
There was other nations all around the country at the same time.
The Hebrews.
That's what the Christians are taking today on this Saturday, all these dates. They're taking the Hebrew history. No.
You're all confused. Sunday has nothing to do with the Hebrew history.
No. I know this. I'm not talking about it. I'm talking about the 7 days.
You asked me
in Genesis.
Excuse me. You asked me a question. Would you please let me answer it?
Okay.
If you want to answer it, then you answer it. We'll move on to something else. Do you have the answer?
I'm asking you, Bill, but the trouble with you is you get arrogant with people when they're asking you. I'm just asking you. I know we go back to the Torah, but
you asked me a question, and then you refused to let me answer it. Every time I tried to answer it, you started jumping in and said, this is the teachings of the Jews and all this other kind of stuff, and you've got to listen if you want me to answer it. There's nothing arrogant about that.
That's the Hebrews in. We'll put it that way.
That's right. The Old Testament is the Hebrew Torah. It is their book of religion. They're the ones who kept the days in that system of religion. Jesus was a Hebrew.
Jesus was the Son of God. I think you're wrong there, too. How could he been a Hebrew when he was the Son of God? Is God
was he born of Mary?
Born of Mary. Can you pull in the Bible any place where it says who Mary was?
Well, see, you didn't want to call and ask me a question. You didn't want to hear my answer.
I'm
You wanted to call. You don't want to hear my answer. When you want to hear my answer, then you call and ask me a question and be prepared to listen to my answer. And if you're not prepared to listen to my answer, then don't call this broadcast. You know, I just can't stand religious nuts. If you want to preach, go find yourself a church, make yourself a minister, or become ordained a minister in some church, and get up in the pulpit and preach until your eyes go cross-eyed. And I will support and even die for your right to do that. But don't call up in my broadcast and preach to me or my audience or anybody else. If you call up and you want to ask me a question, I'll be happy to answer it. I'll give you my opinion. I'll tell you what I know. If you don't like it, that's fine. But don't preach on my broadcast. You get your own broadcast. It costs a lot of money. Don't waste my money or my airtime. You really, really piss me off when you do that. You don't know a damn thing about freedom. You don't care about freedom. You want to force whatever you believe and what you want down everybody else in the world's throat, and I will not stand for it. And as long as I'm alive, you're not going to do it. Good evening. You're on the air. Well, that's what we started out to do, so go right ahead. But you got to talk a lot louder.
Okay, but before that, I would like to say that if your admonition to go to the source, I would recommend people go to a source which is wsws.org, to really find out firsthand rather than all of the biased and anti-socialist lies that we hear. I think that when you claim that you're bucking the system by being...
Hey. Don't call my broadcast and pretend you're calling about something else and then spout your socialist line. This is not socialist night. Now, I've opened up the phones, have invited socialists to come on here and argue their points, and none of you had the balls to do it ever. So don't sneak in here with an end run and try to do it. The subject is Kosovo, Yugoslavia. 520-333-4570. How many times, ladies and gentlemen, have I invited people like this to come on to this broadcast and tell us what they believe and why they believe it? Hundreds of times. And when we do that, they don't have the balls. It's amazing. They think they have to sneak their way in because that's their mentality. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, good evening, Bill. How are you?
I'm fine.
Hey, listen.
I'm getting finer by the minute. I love these kinds of challenges. Go ahead.
I've been trying to get in. You said, just to bring up something, you said tomorrow you're going to talk about the contrails.
The subject is Kosovo, Yugoslavia. Are you hard of hearing?
Tomorrow you said you were going to talk about the contrails.
Yeah, and tomorrow call up and talk about them. Tonight, the subject right now is Kosovo, Yugoslavia. Have we got any other dense people out there with cement between their ears that can't understand that? We're fixing to go to war. I would like to talk about it at least for a few minutes before this broadcast ends. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, Mr. Cooper.
Hello.
No more stuff about the Emmy Awards?
No, we're talking about...
I
can't believe this. I cannot believe this. Am I dealing with a pack of kindergarten children? How many times do I have to say it? Good evening. You're on the air. Boy.
Yeah.
What are you going to give me another surprise here, or are you going to talk about what?
Kosovo.
Thank you.
Well, I
love you.
this is really a bipartisan attempt, I think, to... dominate the world and project onto other countries and come up with phony pretexts like fighting for freedom abroad or fighting for human rights.
I need you to talk a lot louder. You have some excellent points. I want to make sure that the whole audience hear them.
Well, I believe that it's absolutely ridiculous to believe that the stated angelic motives that the United States is trying to protect peace in Kosovo or is fighting against unconventional weapons in Iraq and killing and starving 1.5 million people in the process. or fighting for human rights or fighting against terrorism. This has to do with domination of the world for the transnational corporations and turn the world into a plantation for these transnational corporations. So I think one of the main reasons that the United States has singled out the Serbs for a special demonization and attack is that they are the one source that's been trying to hold the country together, and even more, they've been resisting these privatization schemes, these so-called free market capitalist privatization schemes that the United States and the International Monetary Fund is fastening and dictating on the entire world, which has led, in fact, to the kind of terrible poverty, catastrophic poverty that you see in Russia now. And I think that's the real reason, that this is just an attempt to dominate the world. I was listening to shortwave a few weeks ago, and Boutros Ghali, the former Secretary General that the United States pressured out.
Wait a minute. You mean Secretary General of the United Nations?
Right.
You said the United States.
He said that the greatest threat to world peace and justice is the lone superpower status of the United States now, with no countervailing influence of, you know, with the defunct Soviet Union to check U.S. Aggression around the world. And I'm really sick at the amount of invasions, bombings daily, the threat countdowns to bombings, the threats to other countries. I think they're setting a precedent, and Madeleine Albright even admitted that they want to use Kosovo as a precedent for using NATO in ways that was never used, even at the height of the Cold War, against a non-NATO country that isn't attacking a NATO country, and then use that as a pretext to, as she says, nullify the sovereignty of any country that the United States State Department doesn't like. We got the right to overthrow their government, and this will be the first precedent for doing this. It's absolutely dangerous. And you don't hear in the corporate media anything of the information, for instance, that these Kosovo Liberation Army, so-called, were designated even by the United States government in 1998 as a terrorist gang, a terrorist organization, until they were seen as a useful tool to serve as a pretext to bomb Serbia and occupy Serbia. And all of a sudden, now we're meeting with them and legitimizing them into the White House. And I think people got to get other sources of information. There's a Covert Action Quarterly magazine that's got a lot of information from some former intelligence agencies that got disgusted with U.S. Skullduggery, and right for this magazine, as well as some independent journalists and academics, and they point out that we're being lied to. We're just being lied to about every one of these interventions around the world. And contrary to what you say, it doesn't have anything to do with socialism. It's just the opposite. I think it's capitalist. It's the transnational.
But you're wrong.
Exactly the opposite.
You're wrong. Remember all of the major corporations that supported Hitler? Hitler was a socialist. It is in the best interest.
Socialism was a good word in Germany at the time.
No. Hitler was a socialist. There is no doubt about it.
We're the socialist and the communist, even before the Jews.
You're the same guy that called before.
Pardon?
Jeez. That's the same guy that called before. Here, you've got to sneak it in there. Boy, these, you know, don't be sneaky on me. You can't pull it past me. I'm smarter than that. You're not talking to Chuck Carter or Tom Valentine or doofy old Art B.S. Bell. Hitler was a socialist. Mussolini was a socialist. This new world order is going to be socialist. It is about socialism. They make no secret of it, and the major multinational corporations in the world support it. Good evening. You're on the air.
Bill.
Yes, sir.
Seth, I called earlier, but I'll talk about Kosovo.
Good.
You know, it's multifaceted. We want to project our influence into that area, potentially as a stepping stone into the southern Soviet republics, which are really unstable. And I'll agree that it's a precedent setting. It's a sovereign nation state. And the idea that we're going to attack them for civil strife inside of that is precedent setting. It's setting the precedent for a UN standing army, but it's even making an end run around, you know, the General Assembly, which doesn't approve that. It's very complex. And what I've seen go on is, in my opinion, I don't think that we're really at odds with Slobodan Milosevic, who's a socialist. And we've been targeting the demographics in that area.
You just said something that it's incredibly right on target.
I don't think that
Milosevic is a socialist.
Absolutely. And we're not friendly to the Albanians necessarily.
No, and if you read Hegel, then this begins to make more sense, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
See, you're on target.
The problem is hard to understand, you know, and the previous gentleman alludes to it. We're witnessing the synthesis of Soviet communism and so-called Western modified capitalism into a Hegelian synthesis of a different brand of socialism.
That's exactly right. You have it. You've hit it exactly. You've hit the nail on the head. You have it. Go ahead, expound, and explain what you've just said to the listening audience.
And I'll backtrack to the Oscars. We have to be careful. When you watch them give an award to a man who's near death, really, who was once a socialist, or I should say a communist. He was a party member, Elia Kazan. They're happy to deflect attention from their agenda by giving that gentleman an award, because it's a seeming burying of the hatchet. And when we watch a lot of those people in the audience, like Warren Beatty, lead the stand-up applause for that guy, we would be deceived.
Oh, yes, but I wasn't deceived. I know who Warren Beatty is and what his politics are.
Absolutely. His stone face standing up there applauding. So it's very sophisticated, and it's going to be hard for the general public to appreciate that large-scale Western corporations
I beg your pardon. It's going to be absolutely impossible for the majority of the American people to ever understand anything about any of this. They're not going to do it. It's always going to be a minority of people, and we may be waking up some more of those members of that minority that will understand tonight. But the majority of the people who are listening now haven't got a clue about what we are talking.
Right. So regarding Kosovo, you know, I went to the wall here with my congressman when we initially got involved with Bosnia. And I rallied a good number of solid citizens. We sent, you know, letters to the congressman. We had him four square not going into Bosnia. It's incredible that the general public has supported our being there with no exit after we were promised that we were only going to be there a year.
Oh, well, but wait a minute. See, that's the whole key. Remember the accord? Where was it signed?
Oh, you mean the recent one?
No, the one that put our troops there.
Ohio.
Dayton, Ohio. The Dayton Accord. Remember that?
Totally blacked out from the public. Meeting that happened there, and the public tolerated it. The media was totally blacked out, and
But the accords were available to anybody who put in a Freedom of Information Act request, which I did.
Okay.
And within 30 days of the day that Clinton said we were only going to be there for 1 year, I got a copy of the Dayton Accords and found out he lied, and I revealed it on this broadcast that the accords clearly stated that we would be there for a minimum of 5 years before our troops would come home.
Incredible. So that's how we know that the congressional delegation, they know this.
Yes, they
did.
They're
all posturing. They're all stooges. They're afraid.
And they know that the American people will believe what they tell them, and none of the American people, except for a very small number like me, will ever ask for those documents and actually read them.
Right. Bill, given that, and given that we know that we need to be prepared for any and all eventuality, day-to-day moving forward, what should one be looking to do in terms of politics? The deception is so...
There are no politics left in this country. If you really believe there's any difference between the Democrat and Republican Party at this stage of the game, then I got to tell you, you're out on a limb sawing yourself off. If you believe that Pat Buchanan represents any of us, you've already sawed yourself off and you've fallen in the well. If you believe that little Arkansas twit down in Texas who has run for president twice to divide the real conservative vote, or what they call the conservative vote, out here in average America land, is on our side, then, the bottom has fallen out of the well.
Right. We're the profane. You know, you brought up Buchanan. I had gotten on a mailing list with his campaign. Yeah. Got a Christmas card from the gentleman who described himself as the stone that the builders rejected. Had an obelisk on it rising up out of a grove of trees with a crimson bow on it. That was my Christmas card from Pat Buchanan.
Yeah, he was giving you what we used to call the bird when I was a boy.
Yeah.
He was saying, got you fooled, dummy. You stupid jerk, cattle, animal, no-brain, SOB. Here's to you.
Right.
It's exactly what he did.
Right. So suffice to say that any energy that we apply towards politics at this point is wasted energy.
Absolutely.
Is that what you're saying, essentially?
Absolutely, unless you can affect total control on a local level and work up and take control of a state. Then you've got something.
Right.
If you're talking about national politics, forget it.
Right. So people need to get that clear, and they need to pay attention to national politics, but not get too invested in the whipsawing of it, because it's really going to be a cathartic action that's going to deflect them from doing anything constructive.
Yeah, and listen to this very carefully. When the Republic was founded, the representatives were elected in districts according to population,
right,
by the people. The senators were appointed by the legislature of the state to ensure the sovereignty of the state.
Right. The 17th Amendment came in place right around the time of the Federal Reserve. They knew that with the national reach of their media, they could put in place a national-centric senator instead of having the senator represent the respective state.
Yeah. Now listen to me carefully. Now the senator is elected. If the people in a state wants a law to go a certain way, they have their representatives who vote that law into being.
Right.
And then it goes to the Senate, where those two people elected by the people of the state, okay,
can quash it.
Turn right around and stomp on it, and they're supposed to represent the people.
Exactly.
And in the beginning, they were supposed to protect the sovereignty of the state, and somewhere back in the dim history of the early half of this century, somebody convinced the stupid sheeple that they would be better off if they elected their senators instead of having them appointed.
Right. And
and so now the senators don't have to answer to anybody.
Republic come Roman Empire is very apt, correct?
Yes.
And right now the oligarchy...
What's the first thing they did in order to establish a total dictatorship over Rome?
Right.
They destroyed the autonomy of the Senate.
Right. And right now the oligarchy is essentially moving their assets offshore. They have no loyalty any longer to what was the Republic, and
they're quickly changing it into a democracy.
Right, and it's virtually like citizenship. What was our citizenship is virtually being thrown open to all comers.
Yes, and democracy, as Marx and Lenin told us, who invented this whole system, is indispensable to socialism, according to Lenin, and according to Marx, democracy is the road to socialism.
Absolutely.
And what is the ultimate goal of socialism?
Communism.
You got it. My friend, you have just won the William Cooper Hour of the Time diploma.
Thank you, sir. We'll let somebody else step up to the plate.
Okay. Thanks for calling. 520-333-4578. One of the best calls I have ever had on this broadcast since I began broadcasting many years ago. Somebody who has actually learned something, and not just learned it, but learned it well. Good evening. You're on the air.
Bill, I have a question about Kosovo.
I need you to talk a lot louder first.
Okay. My question about Kosovo is how you think militarily they would rank versus Iraq, the Iraq army, what we ran into there, the war of the Desert Storm War. What do you think? think the difference would be with this battle that we're seems like we're about to have now with them? Are they superior?
I think the Serbs have a superior air defense system. I think that they're being supported technology-wise by what used to be called the Soviet Union, and they have things that they have not allowed anybody to know that they have yet. And I think that if we go in there and start screwing around with those people, when they say they're a sovereign nation and they will fight any attempt to come in there and force them to sign something they don't want to sign. And by the way, what's that called? That's called coercion. No treaty, no contract, no document is valid when it's signed with a gun to your head. That's one of the basic precepts of law. So Clinton is nothing more. Clinton, are you listening to me, you stinking scumbag, socialist, puke-faced, immoral womanizer? Listen to me very carefully. You're nothing but a hoodlum when you point a gun to somebody's head to make them sign a document or a contract they don't want to sign. And we got no business in there at all. It's a sovereign nation, just like they say, and they're trying to hold their nation together against a bunch of armed bands of terrorists who are splitting the nation up. And if that's in our best interest, then by golly, why in the world do we revere Abraham Lincoln so much? Clinton's a liar. He's a socialist. He may be even a hardcore communist, and he is doing everything he can to destroy this country and bring about a one-world government. And remember, where's the first place that Hitler said was the keystone to Europe? The Balkans. Where's the Balkans? Yugoslavia. What did Napoleon say he had to conquer in order to be able to conquer Europe? The Balkans. If we're going to be the linchpin in the New World Order, and if there's going to be a New World Order, and we're going to control the world in this New World socialist utopian state, what is the key to the control of Europe?
The Balkans.
The Balkans. You better believe it. And it's none of our business. And if Europe doesn't like what's going on in the Balkans, Europe should be dealing with it. My God, they just came together as the European Union. If they can't handle it, what in the world are we doing over there? When are people going to wake up? When are they going to get some brains? Sometimes, I'm telling you right now, it is just absolutely staggering, the stupidity that I see all around me.
This might be the first formidable army we're really going to face.
I'll tell you what, it will be much worse than anything that you can dream of if we get in a real fighting war with the Serbs. And if that happens, and they are really fighting and doing some damage, you're going to see Russia come in and support them.
Yeah, especially if they're winning.
Yes. And it will be the key to the recovery of the Russian economy. And that's all they're waiting for. They don't want to take out a loan or accept money from the International Monetary Fund. They would love it if this happens.
I don't think we want ground troops there on the ground. Those guys.
Well, project it a little farther along. What's the next step after that if we get into a real fighting war with Russia, which has never happened in our history?
Missiles.
Atomic bomb time, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. People aren't thinking very straight.
Yeah.
Got a liar for a president.
Oh, he's a communist. People... I was just reading Tragedy and Hope. That's, you can see a lot of his floor plan is right there. He took it right out of that book.
Sure he did.
Yeah, it's right there. Explains his whole agenda.
Yep.
Okay. All right, well, I'll let somebody else call, Bill.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling.
Yep.
520-333-4578. But, you know, you guys don't have to listen to me. I don't know anything. I'm just Bill Cooper. What do I know? Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Mr. Cooper.
Hello.
I just wanted to make a couple of points of some of the things you brought up tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Regarding the alien movies, I just wanted to give you my two cents. I saw a whole lot of terrorist movies on the last few days. Also, regarding, I talked with you two or three years ago about the symbology of the Serbian army and the history going back to the Bogomils all the way back then.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to ask what you thought about what you just said about the Russian, the Great Bear, the symbolism of the Great Bear and the twin-headed eagle of that Serbian army, and just the way things are playing out that way.
Well, it's the same symbol.
They're
kin. They're welded by blood and politics and geography and everything else. And Russia knows what we know. Russia knows what Hitler knew. Russia knows what Napoleon knew. Why do you think when there was a partition of Europe, Russia insisted upon Yugoslavia? Balkans are the keystone to the control of Europe. If there was ever going to be a war in Europe, the Russians had the keystone. That's why NATO was just a joke, really, for a lot of years.
Oh, and even back to, if you look at the beginning of World War II, everyone looked at how Hitler was looking west. When you really read what he was saying and what he was discussing with the generals, he was looking east.
You,
he knew the same truth.
You better believe it.
He knew exactly the value of that.
He knew absolutely the value of that.
He
even had a term for it. He had a word for it. Actually, we don't. We're out of time.
Oh, we're out of time.
Yep, and I got to let you go.
Okay, well, thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
Those were some interesting questions. And anyway, we've got to go. Good night, folks, and God bless each and every single one of you. Listen to this carefully. Come on, wake up.
All of a sudden, in the middle of the night, there's a loud knock on your door. Hey, honey. Something's not right.
Watch your arms.
And I'm from the IRS with a power to tax. Did you got a complaint? That is a fact.
Get out of this house. Surrender your guns. Give me your gold. You better obey if you want to come home. Just produce that and do what you're told.
Hillary Salala, Reno Janet Dyke, reading the words of General Albert Pike, demonic founder of the Ku Klux Klan, engineer of the Masonic Master Plan. Pike said Lucifer is God across this land, and put the saying, take the mark in your right hand. While we're all dancing to the drums of uproar, right? Clinton's preparing it for another huge tax hike. Order out of chaos, depression, inflation, creates a panic and rape the nation. Crisis creation. Incite black and white, program agitation.
You're surrounded. By the UN in white and gray, the ATF, the men in black, of the one world order.
But it's not new. Iron Mountain, computer beasts, and cattle.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, you know why William Jefferson Clinton called me, William Cooper, the most dangerous radio host in America. And my only weapon is the truth.
Your operation paperclip. National ID? Debit card? Yeah. Vaccination biochip, milk carton kit, genetic engineering.
Hear that lonesome whisper, will he sounds to rooms of light. That bridge I say is wide and low. I'm so lonesome, if you will see a light so long, when time goes crawling by, the moon just waits behind a cloud. when we